tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd. Fa'audhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Rasulullah. As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Habiballah. As-salatu wassalamu alayka ya Nabiyallah. Wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. Dear viewers of Madani channel, welcome and marhaba to another episode of the series Dimensions of Islamic Life. Alhamdulillah, our today's topic of discussion is a very interesting one. And it highlights some of our modern issues our modern society may be going through. And at the same time, this is, alhamdulillah, a beautiful teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yes, I'm talking about respecting the privacy of others. And in a world where there's surveillance of different kinds, snooping going around, hacking into people's social media accounts, etc., these are some of the things that we experience in our day-to-day life. And the perpetrators, for them, there is a severe warning that yes, as they have the repercussion from the law authorities, but Islam also discourages this kind of action and this kind of misdeeds. Yes, and it's a violation of the rights of people. Alhamdulillah. And in today's episode and program, we are going to explore more about this particular situation that we have in our midst, respecting the privacy of others. But before that, let's first of all recite Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that whoever recited Salat upon me 3 times in the day and night out of yearning and devotion for me, it is upon the mercy of Allah to forgive the sins he committed in the said day and night. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah. Today again, I have with me our great Muballigh of Da'wat Islami, my esteemed colleague, Maulana Sayyid Muhammad Madani Hafizahullah. Jazakallah Sayyidi, and welcome to the program. MashaAllah. Yes, as it is our topic of today, respecting the privacy of others. And mashallah, in this regard, we have a beautiful parable that we would like to start with. Maktabatul Madina. Yes, the publishing wing of Dawat Islami. Maktabatul Madina has published a book by the name Salah for Islamic Sisters. In this book, this beautiful parable is mentioned, that Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh was in the wudu area of Kufa's Jami Masjid, where he saw a young man performing wudu. Drops of wudu water were falling from this person's body as he is making wudu. The Imam exclaimed, "Repent from disobeying your parents." The young man immediately said, "I have repented." Another man came with drops of wudu water also falling from his body. And the imam said to him, "Repent from adultery, my brother." And the person said, "I have repented." The imam then said to another person from whose body the wudu water was dripping, and he said to him, "Repent from drinking alcohol and listening to music." This person also said, out of respect, that I have repented. As Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi ta'ala ali was blessed with spiritual insight and he was able to see the faults of other people, he asked Allah to take this away from him. This ability of becoming aware of people's faults, he wanted this ability to be taken away from him. Meaning he didn't want to have any dealings with the faults of other people.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. How nice it would be if we could, you know, learn a lesson and try to find our own faults instead of, you know, snooping around and finding what fault, which person, what faults they have, and we blow it out of proportion at times. We make it public at times, and some of us, we get a really kick out of it. You know, if we defame somebody on the social media in public, or we tell another person about the shortfalls of this one person, and all of this is haram in Islam.
Actually, Munasab, you know, the fault finding, right, and you know, invading the privacy of others is totally, you know, prohibited in Islam. And also, one has to realize and understand the importance of a respect of a Muslim.
Yes.
That, you know, the respect of a Muslim is held in a very high regard. And to degrade someone, you know, to degrade another fellow Muslim, to invade the privacy of another fellow Muslim, these are all acts which are totally prohibited in Islam. Rather, Islam teaches us, encourages us to uphold the honor and the respect of a Muslim, to uplift other fellow Muslims as well.
Allah Akbar. And this, the backbiting, the slandering, it all stems from this evil.
Yes.
The fault finding, invading others' privacy.
Yes.
What isn't for your eyes to see, for your ears to hear, why do you now barge in and lending an ear?
Yes.
Somebody is talking in their room, you go and by the door and try to listen what they are talking about. This shouldn't be your concern.
Not at all.
This is invading others' privacy, and you want to get some details so you can, you know, hold this against that person. Mm. And even more so in nowadays, say the on social media, this disease is spreading like a wildfire.
100%.
And nowadays, people, you know, they with the ill intent,
right?
They hold people ransom.
Mm-hmm.
They come, they get hold of your control of your device, and they go through all your files, everything. If they find any particular file or any document,
right,
they hold you ransom, and they will demand money from you. That I demand you give this much money to me, otherwise I'll expose all these files and make it public, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So these are some of the threats that people have received. This is a genuine case. And in every society, you will find every modern society.
Yeah.
We are all connected via the World Wide Web. Everybody is online through their social media handles and so on and so forth. And this is how the privacy of people is invaded.
Mm-hmm.
And those who are there, the perpetrators,
right,
they have this malicious, you know, intent behind all of this. And there is a syndicate that operates. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide such kind of people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has commanded us to abide by that beautiful principle of Islam, about which Sayyidina Imam Abu Dawud rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that four ahadith are sufficient for a religious affairs of man. And the last hadith he has mentioned is min husni islamil mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. It is from the beauty of a person's Islam to abandon what does not concern him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. If the life of other people doesn't concern you, you don't have to go and eavesdrop and go and try to snoop in and find out what's cooking. Worry about your own affairs.
Yes.
Get your own affairs in order. You know, I mean, as it is, we hardly find time to put our own affairs right. Where is time now to go and dig into somebody else's affairs, somebody else's life? Allahu Akbar. And this fault finding, invading people's privacy, this is a serious matter, especially in our time.
And you know, Munasab, this has it has become so widespread. And together with being widespread, it has actually become a norm wherein people find a certain type of pleasure,
yes,
that they get by eavesdropping into into other people's conversations, by invading other people's privacy, by, you know, finding faults in others. They find a certain type of pleasure, and that slowly, gradually, it becomes an addiction. Such an addiction, it becomes so severe that they find they cannot do anything else besides that. They can't even focus on their own lives besides concentrating on the lives of others, on the privacies sure. of others. I mean, imagine how much amount of energy one puts into that. I mean, it requires time, yes. it takes time. Then your energy is going into it, your mental energy is going into it, because they find it like, you know, it's a sort of entertainment, drama, etc. And they take a liking to it. Whereas their own life, it is going downhill. They are not, you know, progressing in life. They are being stagnant. One wants to know what's cooking in the neighbor's house. They get the smell and they'll go and, you know, peep through the window. What's happening? What's cooking? What spices they're putting in? I mean, this is, you know, invading someone else's privacy. How awkward would the neighbor feel? They will feel awkward that this person is looking at my kitchen, and that's kind of creepy in a way.
Yes, it is creepy, definitely.
Yeah. So this kind of, you know, acts and, you know, actions, it should not be done.
Yes. And it's against the Islamic values. Let's say, for example, sometimes we go on the rooftop of our houses, you know, sometimes when there is a railing mm-hmm. around the roof, the cemented roofs, and we go there. And sometimes children now, you can't stop them, but mm-hmm. we should start teaching our children that value, that don't go and peep into the neighbor's yard.
That is very important.
Yes. It's a wrong thing. And we need to train ourselves and our household as well to stick to Islamic values, yes. not to invade others' privacy. Mm-hmm. You know, let them live in peace. And it goes to an extent where some people I've come to know that they even have a binoculars with them, and they use that to look into other Allah people's houses. And this is another level. I mean, what business would you have to do that and draw pleasure from such a thing?
Yeah.
Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala safeguard us against such royal waste of time and energy. You know, time and energy is something that is your life energy. Mm. And you are just wasting it away on futile matters. I mean, what benefit could you derive from looking into somebody else's life and take pleasure exposing them or discussing it with others, carrying tales, backbiting, slandering, all of this is frowned upon in the deen of Islam.
100%.
These are one of the worst actions that you can perform. Here, alhamdulillah, we will narrate a beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam against this disease that's widespread in our society of finding faults and discussing other people's faults. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever concealed the fault of his Muslim brother, Allah will conceal his fault on the day of judgment.
Subhanallah.
If you take pleasure in doing something like that, then you must know it's going to come back to you. What goes around comes around. If you like the fact, you know, violating people's privacy and, you know, exposing people's faults, then it's going to come back to you and bite you. In the second hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, he who alleviates the difficulty of a Muslim, Allah will alleviate their difficulty on the day of judgment. In the third hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam states that he who conceals the fault of his brother after noticing it will be admitted into paradise.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
I mean, look at the virtue. On one hand, we are being given the paradise, subhanallah. And on the other hand, our just gratification of our nafs, if we were to expose it.
Yeah.
Or disclose it to somebody.
You know, Murasab, the Quran teaches us, right, not to search for faults, right? And suppose a person, you know, he finds faults in others, find faults in his family members, etc. Instead of finding the fault or trying to dig to find that fault, or even suppose he found a fault, right? That person's duty should not be to go around town telling everyone, oh, look, this person is like this. This person did this. this person wore this today, this person did that today, etc., etc. Rather, that person, that same energy, he should put it into rectifying that person in private, in a good way, in a way that, you know, would not embarrass him.
True.
Especially, you know, in public, such a person should not be rectified, because why? It will embarrass him, you know, in front of others. So he should be corrected in privacy. And in this, there is goodness, because by rectifying that person, he would be rewarded for rectifying his life. And you would also be rewarded because of rectifying him.
True. I see, it may happen, you know, at times accidentally. Like, for example, you may not want to deliberately, you know, go and find faults in people.
Yes.
But it may unfold in various different ways. Let's say, for example, you just happen to be there in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Right.
What then? You just arrived there.
Yeah.
I mean, you just arrived, you just walked in,
mm-hmm.
let's say your workplace, and you noticed something that you shouldn't have seen.
Right.
Right. And then the right thing would be to let it be like that and walk out.
Yes.
As if it never happened.
Right.
And then now you have a choice now.
Mm-hmm.
Whether to indulge yourself in invading others' privacy,
mm-hmm.
or to safeguard yourself and come out clean.
Yes. The choice is yours at the end of the day.
Yes. And in that split second, we need to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
What do I do now? Do I indulge in other people's conversations? That wasn't my business anyway.
Yeah.
Or should I now, you know, rather come out clean and just walk out? Whatever that I've heard so far or seen, you bury it in your heart.
Yeah.
And you take the secret with you in your grave. And if we choose the second option, the reward is
Subhanallah.
Paradise. Subhanallah. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned his Mubarak hadith. And if we take this first approach, meaning to indulge furthermore into the issue and the problem, or whatever is happening before our eyes.
Right.
And that is also our choice. We made the choice. Now the question is it worth the price of paradise?
Mm, mm,
mm. And everything has a price.
Yeah.
Is it worth the price? It's definitely not. I mean, the paradise for which we make dua, Allah enters into Jannah, the house of peace, subhanallah. Is it really worth it? It is, it's certainly not. And hopefully we have found our answer in this beautiful statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, we say, and there's a beautiful book of Dawat Islami on this subject, Conceal Faults and Attain Paradise.
Subhanallah.
And this loosely, alhamdulillah, summarizes the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, conceal faults and attain paradise. As simple as that. Alhamdulillah, we have a beautiful kalam. Tanam farsuda ja para zihijra ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this Persian kalam is very near and dear to my heart. And alhamdulillah, it will most definitely rejuvenate your heart and the spirit, and revive the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in our hearts. Ameen bijahin nabiyil ameen. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
بلا لو اپنے در پر اب تو غم خانہ بدوشوں کو پھرے کب تک ذلیل و خوار در در ठिकाने से शबे फुरकत ढले बर आए अरमां या रसूल अल्लाह करो तुम मस्ता का Rasool Allah, bula.
قدموں میں میری جان یا رسول اللہ، تنم فرسودا جان پارا زِ ہجران یا رسول اللہ، دلم پژمردہ آوارا زِ سیاں یا رسول اللہ، تنم فرسودا جان پارا زِ ہجران یا رسول اللہ، تمہاری یاد کا غلبہ ہمیشہ دل پہ ہو تاری، لگا دو عشق کی اپنے خدا را ایسی چنگاری، اسی خواہش میں کٹ جائے میری عمر رواں ساری، چسوے من گزر آری من مسکین زناداری، فدا نقش نالینت کنم جان یا رسول اللہ، فدائے نقش نالینت فدائے نقش نالینت کنم جان یا رسول اللہ، تنم فرسودا جا پارا زِ ہجران یا رسول اللہ، دلم پژمردہ آوارا زِ سیاں یا رسول اللہ، تمہاری نعت سے ہی ہے کرم کا سلسلہ پہم، ہے خواہش وقت آخر جب نکلنے والا ہو یہ دم، زباں پر جاری ہو نغمہ تیرا، دل یہ کہے اس دم زے جامے ہو بے تو مستم، بزنجیرے تو دل بستم، نمی گویم کے من ہستم، سخندان یا رسول اللہ، نمی گویم کے من ہستم، سخندان یا رسول اللہ، تنم فرسودا جا پارا زِ ہجران یا رسول اللہ، دلم پژمردہ آوارا زِ سیاں یا رسول اللہ، سیاہی دفتر اعمال کی ہوتی نہیں ہے کم، عذاب قبر و محشر کا مجھے اب کھا رہا ہے غم، شرم ساری گناہوں پر ہے اور آنکھیں ہیں میری نم، ذکر دعا آتش ہے رانم سیا شد روز سیانم پشیمانم پشیمانم پشیمان یا رسول اللہ پشیمانم پشیمانم پشیمان یا رسول اللہ تنم فرسودہ جا پارا زہجران یا رسول اللہ دلم پجمردہ سر محشر محمد پیش ہو جو در سیاہ کارا کہے بے ساختہ جو دیکھے رحمت بر گناہ گارا میری تم اے شفا اے درد بیمارا چوبا زو اے شفاعت را کشائی بر گناہ گارا مکن محروم جا میرا درا رسول اللہ مکن محروم جا میرا درا یا رسول اللہ تنم فرسودہ جا پارا زہجران یا رسول اللہ مردہ آوارا زیسیا یا رسول اللہ
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وعلی آلہ وصحبہ اجمعین وسلم. ویلکم بیک ٹو یور ویورز. الحمدللہ وی ور لسننگ ٹو دس میلوڈیس کلام, ہارٹ ٹچنگ. تنم فرسودہ جا پارا زہجرا یا رسول اللہ. ریورٹنگ بیک ٹو آور سبجیکٹ آف ڈسکشن, اینڈ دیٹ از ریسپیکٹ دی پرائیویسی آف ادرس. ان دس ریگارڈ, سے دی یو نو سم ٹائمز وی سے تھنگز آؤٹ آف کنسرن,
رائٹ؟
لائک فار ایگزامپل وی سے, وی مائٹ سے اوکے ڈو یو ریڈ یور صلاح آؤٹ آف کنسرن,
رائٹ؟
But the same thing can be said in a very inquisitive way, meaning a dig.
Mm-hmm.
Loosely, we call it a dig. One is just showing your concern, and one is digging into somebody's personal life.
Right.
So if you're showing your concern, it's a genuine concern, and you say, brothers, please read your five times salah and so on. You're advising them. And other way could be a dig. Do you read your five times salah? Like, it's a direct question. Mm-hmm. How is it your business?
Yeah.
Right? And if the person says no, then you're going to, I mean, some take it one level further.
Mm.
Or, you know, this person, I asked him, he doesn't read his five times salah.
Mm.
Now you are putting this brother down in the eyes of others.
And that too, exposing a sin is a sin itself.
Yes. And, you know, backbiting, if it's true, then it's backbiting.
Right.
And if it's false, then it's slander.
Mm.
So even if it's true, it is backbiting.
Right.
It is still a sin. Allahu Akbar. We may ask questions, you know, that is not our place to ask. For example, we may ask a brother, How's your wife? How old is she? Which family she belongs to? Is she a good person?
Yeah.
How is it your concern? You don't even know. And, you know, there's a very subtle and fine line between showing your concern and digging into somebody's
life. It's like
life.
Being inquisitive.
Yes.
Right.
Let's say, for example, you ask somebody, you stay awake late at night, do you even read Fajr? I mean, Allah. These are outright, you know, bold things to say, yeah. And wrongfully so. Let's say, for example, you might ask, do you read your salah or not? Does your father offer salah?
Allah.
But if you ask somebody, you have not worn new clothes yet, have you read Eid Salah yet? Meaning he has bad assumption.
Yeah.
His own Muslim brother.
He doesn't have a good opinion.
Look at the angle of the question itself. It's not a genuine concern. It's a dig.
Yeah.
How is it your concern if somebody is wearing new clothes, old clothes, whatever the case may be? So we need to pull ourselves away from all of this, digging into somebody's personal life, asking them inappropriate questions. Yes.
You know, Munasab, that hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you've mentioned, that from a beauty of a person's deen, is that he leaves out that which does not concern him. Imagine, you know, if someone had to truly, sincerely, wholeheartedly had to practice upon this. Imagine how peaceful the community and society at large would become. We would very seldomly see severing ties between family members. We would less see problems in families taking place, between siblings taking place. Why? Because everyone is minding their own business and they are staying in their lane. Yes. They are not worried about what's right, what's on the left, what's on the right. No, they are going straight and they are not concerned about those things which bring no benefit to them.
True.
Why waste and put, you know, your energy into something that will bring you no benefit at all? That same energy should be for a person's own well-being, a person's own upliftment, a person's own rectification. You know, it should not be used in any other ways that will destroy and tarnish the dignity and respect of other fellow Muslims. So by practicing upon this blessed hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which tells us not to invade the privacy of others, and by doing this, then we will definitely see less problems occurring in the community.
Inshallah, definitely say the Ameen bijahin Nabil. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us such people that we are only concerned about our own well-being, improving ourselves,
yeah.
Not eyeing the faults of others. I mean, what do we get out of it?
Exactly.
Losses.
Yeah.
And it might create jealousy in a person as well at times. You know, you look at somebody driving a beautiful car. So that person got a car. Some people get jealous.
Yeah.
Meaning, jealousy, what is jealousy? Wishing the loss of someone else and wishing that you should rather have had that thing which he has. Right? So that sums up jealousy.
Yes.
And Allahu Akbar. We should look at those who are below us and make shukr.
Yes.
If you have two loaves of bread, you see someone with one loaf of bread, make shukr that you have more.
Yeah.
If somebody is eating half a roti and you have full roti with you, why are you looking at half the bread of the other person?
I mean, that's his own privacy.
Yes. Right. I mean, even while we are eating, yeah. You know, it is from the Islamic etiquette to look in your own plate and not look at other yes. people eating and putting morsels in their mouths. It is against Islamic etiquette to do so. Meaning it doesn't provide any value to you. And you are, in a way, making others uncomfortable.
Yes.
You
know?
So these are some of the things that we find ourselves dealing with, and it is not appropriate staring at somebody you know.
I mean, they will get scared.
Yes.
And you know, the one of the many duties of a believer of Muslims is, you know, to make the hearts of other Muslims happy.
Yes.
Not degrade their status, invade their privacy, etc. Because invading someone else's privacy is actually hurting them, violating their rights.
Yes.
And it's something that is not really appreciated. And, you know, instead what should be done is to make others happy. And, you know, the virtues of making others happy, it is so great and so excellent that it is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He mentions the summary of which is that when a believer makes the heart of another fellow Muslim happy, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates an angel out of that happiness.
Allah.
And this angel worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speaks of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when this person, when he dies, this angel comes into his grave and asks him that, do you know who I am? And that person will say, who are you? The angel will say that, I am that happiness which you put into the hearts of another Muslim.
Subhanallah.
And today I am going to place happiness in your grave.
Allah.
Today I am going to help you answer the questions of Munkar and Nakir. And today I will show you your place in Jannah. I mean, how great, you know, is the virtues of making other fellow Muslims happy instead of hurting them by invading their privacy.
Sayyidi, you know, in olden days, we used to receive letters.
Jee.
Send and receive letters. And letters come in envelopes for a reason. They don't come open.
Mm-hmm.
It's sealed. They are folded.
Right.
They are put into an envelope. Then they are sealed. There is the glue there and the seal is put there with the tickets and so on. I've seen that time in my childhood and now no more. Very seldom do we receive letters and so on. And it used to be regarded as the symbol of invasion of somebody's privacy if you open somebody's letter. You receive, letter came at home, maybe different families, they stay on the same property and there's one post box.
Right, so everything goes into one post box, all the letters.
Yes, and the name of the addressee is there on each envelope.
Right.
You know this letter is not addressed to you, but you still want to see what's inside.
Mm.
There could be bank statements. There could be letters from government authorities. There could be letters from, traffic departments. There could be letter from municipality corporations. There could be different letters, you know, and so on and so forth.
Mm.
And all private stuff.
Yeah.
There could be a letter from someone, your loved one, whoever, friend, family, they wrote the letter to you. And they want to communicate that specific idea to you directly. They don't want the third person to read it. They never intended it for that person who's opening and prying and trying to see what's in this letter.
Right.
And this was a moral crime. And it is a crime to open someone's letter and read it. Nowadays, the same thing is happening. There's communication, peer-to-peer communication.
Yeah.
And the messages get intercepted in the middle. Somebody's trying to snoop and see, decode the messages, what's written there, what you writing to one person, what he is writing to you, or you saw somebody's phone lying there.
Yes.
And you're looking there, okay, messages are coming, who's sending the message, let's see what other communications are there. You're checking into people's emails. I mean, the same form of evil that used to be in the print media, in terms of, you know, pen and paper, the same kind of evil is happening digitally nowadays.
Mm-hmm. And that too more widespread and more faster.
And people that are there behind a mask, hiding and invading your privacy. And sometimes we receive threats, anonymous calls, and so on and so forth. People calling you from private numbers, but there's no number, there's no caller identity there. So these are the various different challenges that we face. And why would a person want to hide their identity if they're calling you? Therefore, you know, there are settings to mute and filter out those conversations, or, you know, there are ways to encrypt your conversations, your communication, which is good, alhamdulillah. So we should take our precautions. We shouldn't now infest our devices with malware, with the viruses and so on. Yeah. Visiting the websites where you could attract viruses from there. You know, mm-hmm. all is baked into different tools, browsers, etc. that we use. So there are certain things that we can take precautions, as the end user. And inshallah, Azza wa Jal, in this regard, we need to know. I mean, if we're going to use these devices, we'd rather know, okay, what's my limit?
Yes, you have to be educated about it.
Yes. So yes, a little knowledge helps, alhamdulillah, along the way. So yes, these are some of the precautions you take. And not to click on certain links when people send you links. One of those links could be a suspicious malware or phishing attack.
Mm-hmm.
That is also very common. And then they start snooping on your devices, your conversations. Everything is in public domain. These are the dangers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide those who are invading people's privacy, trying to find faults. Or Lele, what I can find against this person, so I can use it against him. This also happens even in the families. People are, you know, some members, you will find that they are trying to do this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And nowadays on TV dramas, you see this kind of thing going viral. These are the things that are taught in soap operas that is shown on the TV dramas. How the daughter-in-law must fight with the mother-in-law, what cunning ways to adopt and so on and so forth. Putting in evil ideas into people's minds. And this reflects in people's lives.
100%.
You will see some of your family members, they are glued to the TV, you know.
Yeah.
That, okay, this episode is playing and they learn these evil things.
They want to imitate.
Yes. And these are the channels of shaitan, you know. Where shaitan, as they're the spokesperson of shaitan, where evil is spreading in your own house by watching indecent dramas, indecent movies, etc. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and safeguard us against the evil that is spread throughout our society. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyyil Ameen. Sayyidi, we were discussing the examples how, you know, sometimes people may come at you and ask you that, you know, let's say it's a month of Ramadan and they ask you, "You're looking very fresh today. Are you even fasting?"
Lord.
Let's say, how about this? How many fasts have you kept? Did you miss any Tarawih Salah? Do you give all your zakat?
It's so technical, you know. I mean,
yes. I mean, how is it that person's concern whether you do all of this or not? Yes, he. It was a different case if he was just coming to you in a friendly manner. You know, we should give our zakat, inshallah, on time.
Yeah.
And try to keep our fast. That is a different. He's encouraging you towards goodness, alhamdulillah. And it is in line with the Quranic advice, ta'awanu alal birr. You know, you must help each other on piety. So that falls in the line of that. But here it falls under the line of wala tajassasu. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us not to do fault finding in the Holy Quran. And here we are doing exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do this? Do you fight with your family members? How does it add any value to your life if I tell you that?
Exactly.
And you're not only telling me to, you know, you're not only after exposing people's secrets and faults, but you are now asking me to do that, what you are doing. That I must now expose other people's faults because you are asking me to do that. To ask the mother of a married woman, is your daughter-in-law or your daughter's mother-in-law, if she's a nice person. These are the kind of things that we shouldn't get into all of that. Then it opens the whole can of worms.
Yeah.
Then remarks are thrown around. Then backbiting is done. Slandering is done.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like opening the whole, Pandora box of evil.
And you know, most of these Christians, they are, you know, so widespread in the community, well, around the world, we can say, that it has become a normal thing to ask. And, you know, it's taken so lightly that no one even thinks that it really is a very severe matter to ask such questions to other people.
Even in family matters, sometimes, you know, your family comes from afar and you haven't seen each other for a long time. And instead of meeting and greeting each other, catching up, you know, then you start talking about other people.
Right.
You've just met. You haven't seen each other for a long time. Instead of asking you how you are, how you've been, and, you know, how are children, mashallah, family, everyone is okay. You start talking about other people. What happened to him? Is he still drinking? Ma'adallah. Exposing the faults of others.
Right.
This brother, we met him, you know, when we were together. Is he still gambling? Right. So, you just met. Instead of making this union as harmonious, you know, when the brothers meet.
Yes.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah if they make salam, ask about each other, make dua for each other, subhanallah. Instead of doing things like this, you are now gossiping about other people. This gossiping, you know, people nowadays, they glorify this thing.
Yeah.
It's like being glorified nowadays, yes. That, we're just catching up on some gossip.
Yeah, like normal, like it's a normal thing.
Yes, as if you're having a cup of tea.
Yeah.
It's normal, it's, you know.
That too, it's done over a cup of tea.
Yes, true. So, it's worn like a badge of honor, you know. We met after a long time, we're catching up on some nice, good old gossip. Ma'azallah.
Astaghfirullah.
And, you know, to portray the evil in a very beautiful packaging, you know, and this is glorification of an evil. And that in itself is putting false information out there. That you are doing something evil and you are trying to cover it and trying to make it nice. You know?
Yeah.
This is a danger. This is a danger zone. We shouldn't get into that. I mean, we should accept things for what they are. If something is good, call it out. It's good. Something is evil, it's evil. I mean, we as the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is our unique characteristic. As Allah Azza wa Jal has mentioned in the Holy Quran, تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَلِ الْمُنْكَرِ, that we should be enjoining good, prohibiting evil. This is one of the characteristic of ours.
Right.
The Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we start to do that, glorifying the evil and say, no, we're just catching up on some gossip.
And you know, Murasab, this is, you know, something that it breaks family apart, right? Because by doing that, what is happening in the process is that evil or suspicion, you know, evil suspicion is put into the mind of that other person. And that person never even thought of it, but because of gossiping, now an evil thought appeared in the mind of that person.
Yes.
And that person, without even verifying, you know, whether it is true, whether it is false, without doing anything, he will have this thought in his mind. And when he goes back to the person who was being talked about or to the family who was being spoken about, he will go there with a not a good face, you know. He will go there with a sour face and he will act weirdly with
them. You look at him in a negative light.
Yet they did absolutely nothing. But just because of gossiping, how many evils stemmed from that?
How many homes are broken?
Yeah.
How many friendships are being destroyed in the name of gossip and, you know, this kind of carrying tale, backbiting, invading others' privacy, fault finding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all from this evil. Ameen. Bijahin
Nabi. Ameen.
If he was at the end, to encourage you again to please download this beautiful Risala of Dawat Islami, Conceal Faults and Attain Paradise. Beautiful piece of writing, mashallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us together as brothers and keep us away from this evil trait of finding faults and gossiping about people, carrying tales, backbiting, etc. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil. Ameen. Until next time, shall see you inshallah again. Until then, keep reciting Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Keep watching Madani channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In the tapestry of Islamic life, dimensions unfold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace and gold. In these sacred teachings, hearts find peace.